This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Wednesday, October 19th, 2016. I'm Caleb Brown. When police interact with dogs, the results are often deadly for those family pets. Whether it be poor training or wrongly sending police violently into someone's home, police kill thousands of dogs every year. Patrick Riesenover is producer of the film Of Dogs and Men, chronicling several stories of family pets gunned down by police. We spoke last week. In the beginning of the film, you create a lot of confusion, and it's to sort of seems like it's mimicking the confusion of the people who have these interactions with cops. And in every instance, the police end up shooting a dog that turned out not to have been a threat.
That's right. We open the film with a really intense set of cuts so that you kind of get a grasp on all the stories that we cover throughout the film. And the purpose is to, in many ways, kind of, insofar as we can, mirror the experience that people have when, you know, a police officer shows up at their home. Perhaps it's the wrong address. Perhaps it's, just through some mistake or error, and they're not expecting the police, and then suddenly they're there, and, you know, your dog starts barking, or, you know, they're coming into your home, or, you know, knocking at your door, and they're in your yard, and then faster than you can understand what is going on, they've pulled out their gun and shot your dog, and you've lost what people now think of as animal family members. And it's just shocking and traumatic and awful, and, you know, it's devastating. And naturally, the people feel, you know, they feel the loss, they feel anger, they feel shock. And what's wonderful, though, about all of the people that we profiled is, you know, more so than anger, they really feel a desire to change the situation so it doesn't happen to other people.
One of the people that you detail is sort of famous in this area, and that's Shai Calvo, who was the mayor of Berwyn Heights, Maryland. At the time, a SWAT team came to his home and shot his two dogs over a box of drugs that had been dropped on his front porch that presumably somebody else had planned on coming and picking up before the Calvo family got home.
That's right. So there was a deal or an arrangement that these drug dealers had made where there was, a UPS man or a postal worker, I think it was UPS, who would drop off a box addressed to, you know, a real person. But as soon as it was dropped off, the dealer or the people involved would come and pick it up and, take it with them. It was a means of, you know, transferring the drugs. And because perhaps the people had, they suspected that, you know, that their cover was blown, they did not pick up the box, and instead his mother-in-law had come over, and she just innocently picked it up and took it into their home. And, you know, you, in a certain sense, you might think, well, the police officers maybe didn't know, and, you know, they gathered for a full SWAT raid on this suburban home. And they, you know, knocked down his door with a battering ram, threw them to the ground. They did a dynamic entry, and they shot his dogs and threw him to the ground. And afterwards were shocked to learn that he was the mayor of Berwyn Heights, something they did not know when they entered.
With a battering ram.
You know, and it's kind of mysterious in that, you know, I think the natural presumption that people would make is that, well, police officers do investigations and that they would know whose home they're busting into. And, there would be a protocol. And in fact, in our film, we show in one of the depositions of the police officers, one of the officers who had shot one of the dogs, you know, he admits that that he was completely shocked when he heard that, Shai Calvo was the mayor of Berwyn Heights because he thought that someone would have known that. And what I think about the Shai Calvo story is that it demonstrates that this can happen to anyone. This is not just something that happens in, you know, a minority neighborhood where maybe there's gang violence or drug violence. This was a mayor in a suburban home of a town, and it happened to him. which really means it can happen to anyone.
And a lot of the instances that you point to, the people you profile, there were differing circumstances, but in some cases it was police going to the wrong place, police having bad information about the level of threat posed by the people there. In one case, somebody that they were going to make contact with didn't live at the place anymore, and there was just seems to be almost a presumption on the part of police that, you know, they are at risk. And that's not a totally unreasonable thing to think.
You know, certainly in our current political climate, they are at risk. And there are bad guys out there, and there are people who abuse their dogs to turn them into guard dogs to attack police. And this, you know, in our film, we were very conscious of this, and our film of Dogs and Men is not in any way just a takedown or slam against law enforcement. It was very important to us to understand the law enforcement perspective and what it's like for them, what it's like to be a police officer. And insofar as we tried to capture what it was like to lose your dog in one of these tragic circumstances, we also tried to capture what it's like to be a police officer and go to someone's house who you do not know. Perhaps you do not have full information about what's going on there, and there are potentially threats to your life. And your safety and your fellow officer's safety in there. And so police officers have a really difficult, challenging job. And part of what makes them able to do that job is training. And when it comes to canine encounters, for the most part, in every jurisdiction across this country, from small towns to medium cities to large-sized cities to even federal government agencies, there is no training for police officers on dog behavior, how to deal with dogs. And when you think about it, there's training for dealing with terrorists that everyone has to go through. But police officers, on a daily basis, are encountering dogs. You know, whereas a terrorist, particularly in a small town in the United States, is going to be an incredibly rare circumstance. And, you know, especially given the fact that these animals are, you know, they're family members. They live in homes, not just in the barnyard or the backyard anymore. They're literally in the home, in the bed, you know, with people. And so it's something that we feel that police officers need to be aware of, and they need to have a culture change in sort of the view, and also that citizens or civilians need to be aware of when they have their dogs and how they, you know, handle their dogs and how they react to police officers.
What has the price been paid by police officers who, due to bad procedure, end up at the wrong place and end up shooting and what's clearly an innocent owner's dogs?
One thing I want to mention is the scale. We do not have exact numbers because they are not required to record them, and so there's a lack of recording of them at all. But what information we do have is decentralized and not made available to the public, so it's hard to know exactly how many dogs they are shooting a year. However, through a number of metrics, the Department of Justice's Community Policing Division estimates that police officers shoot 10,000 dogs per year in the United States. So when something like this happens and people hear that number, they're shocked, and naturally they would assume that most of those shoots are probably justified, when in fact, as we looked into this, most of them are not justified. They are not drug raids. They are not police officers doing dynamic raids against gangs or bad guys. They are everyday situations in where it's a, you know, someone's called to a wrong house, or, you know, there's lack of information, or the dog is loose. And in the past, they would have just called a dog catcher, not really posing a threat to anyone. But instead, you know, they're calling the police officers, and the police officers do not have, you know, training. And so naturally, they go to their weapon. And whereas one would expect, well, okay, in that instance, that the police officers would be disciplined if they, you know, did the wrong thing. And in fact, that's not the case. Police officers are rarely ever held accountable in these instances, because they do the legalistic thing which is required. And they say, I was in fear of my life, and I was in fear of, you know, imminent threat to me, and so I shot the dog. And for the most part, that, you know, eliminates any possibility that they're going to have any sort of, you know, punishment or repercussions at all.
So what about cases where there is evidence that this officer was not threatened.
Well, it's a tricky thing, Caleb, because we have a doctrine of immunity, which if you watch the film, we have lawyers who represented a lot of the victims. And they, you know, we describe this where basically the police officers, for them to be held accountable and to be punished or shown in the wrong, you essentially have to have another police officer that says that based on his judgment, that police officer knowingly intended to violate protocol. And that's essentially an impossible standard because for the most part, police officers will, you know, say something that reflects reality, which is, you know, they were there and the dog attacked or, you know, barked or, you know, in some way that acted in a way they perceived as threatening. And so they shot the dog. And so to then have a really high burden of proof that that they actually came maliciously and intended to kill the dog is pretty much just a situation where, you know, we're never going to see any consequences so long as that is allowed to stand from a legal standpoint. However, in Colorado, we did see a case in which an officer was brought up on animal cruelty charges for the first time ever. Now they were exonerated from that, but in my view, it was a big victory that the case was ever brought at all. And the other thing that we see is that departments are being sued successfully now for police officers shooting people's animals and basically as a kind of like a seizure by the state, you know, constitutional right, a seizure by the state by destroying, your dog. They're held financially responsible. And so while the individual officer is not necessarily punished in that circumstance, it certainly creates better incentives for police departments across the country to create change, because if they don't, they're going to pay for it.
How did people see the film?
People can see the film on our website of dogsandmen.net. You can buy a copy of it there for streaming or with DVD. And you can also see the film on Amazon or iTunes. And if you check out our website, you will be able to check out the calendar and see when screenings of the film are happening in your local area. And if you are passionate about this issue and you would like to help get the word out about it and make it more well known, you can get in touch with us and sponsor a screening in your local city or town.
Patrick Reasonover is producer of the film Of Dogs and Men, available at iTunes and Amazon. Subscribe to this podcast at iTunes, Google Play, and with Cato's iOS app. And follow us on Twitter at Cato Podcast.